All right, open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 17. The book of Luke, chapter 17. We're going to deviate just a little bit from our study in the 2 Peter, chapter 1. I'm doing so, Toby and myself will be gone. We're going to leave in the morning for his birthday. Every year I take him hunting, and I'm having knee surgery the following week, a week from Tuesday, total replacement, so I'm trying to get in as much as I can. So I want to preach a message really geared with Thanksgiving in mind, and geared really with that of gratitude. If there's anybody in the world that should be thankful, it should be God's people. Amen. I mean, God has blessed us so much. The Lord Jesus has been so good to us. And I hate that I'm going to miss Tuesday night. Brother Ryan's going to take care of everything, and we'll be sharing a brief message there in the fellowship hall. But again, as we dig in this portion of Scripture, I want to show you some things. I believe the Lord would have us to learn this morning. It's a story of 10 lepers. And it's a story that, as you'll see in just a moment, it's a story where God does, the Lord Jesus does something miraculous in their life, and only one of them really gives praise back to him. And I find that troubling. And the reason I find that troubling is the fact that, you know, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Luke puts this in this portion of Scripture, but it's troubling because if we're not careful, you know, just as we'll see these fellows in this text this morning, if we're not careful as God's people, who, you know, those of us that have been born again, if we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap as the 9 ungrateful lepers. And we should never do that. Can I get a witness? We should always be thankful. We should always praise the Lord Jesus for what he has done in our life. So Luke chapter 17, please stand in honor and reverence if you found your place, in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Yeah, pray for Toby and I. I about got run over Friday from a deer. It was either him or me, and we agreed not to kill each other, so I let him go. But, never a dull moment. My life is a carnival. I promise you, my life is a carnival. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he, that's Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The fact that Jesus, and this is what we're going to look at, the fact that Jesus goes through Samaria, that's a big deal. And that was an unexpected, as far as the Jews were concerned, that was an unexpected kind of a turn of events. That, you know, a Jew wouldn't go through Samaria. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus wasn't just any Jew. He's a Savior of the world, not just Jewish people, but Gentiles as well. And Jesus, so he goes through the region of Samaria, in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That's absolutely right, because they would have been in a colony. They weren't allowed to be around the normal population. They were unclean, and they would have had to have hollered, unclean, unclean, if anybody got close to them. The Bible goes on, it says in verse 13, and they lifted, notice that, significant, they, plural, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. I mean, these fellas, lepers, are now cleansed. And the Bible says, and one, so we go from they to now singular, right? We go from plural to singular. Plural, they all cried out wanting Jesus to have mercy on them, and he does. And now we see just one of them, one person, one former leper, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Can you imagine that? Can you walk in this text with me just for a moment? These are literal men who had leprosy, and now they're healed. Somebody say, go God. Amen. Go God. You didn't get it. You said amen. Somebody say, go God for me. Amen. All right. That's good. So the Bible says he saw that he was healed. Verse 15, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And notice this, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask your blessings now on the reading of your holy word. We pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us this morning. And Lord, I pray that as a result of you being with us this morning, revealing your word to us, I pray, God, that we would be more thankful and be more grateful for what you've done in our lives. And Father, we are forever changed because of you. And we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to a few things as we looked at today on simply this topic. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? You could also give this sermon a title simply, One or Nine. One or Nine. Where are the nine? As you see in this text, I want to give you just a quick outline on this sermon as far as in these verses to help us kind of walk through that. You'll notice that I give outlines, and they're usually, you know, all, you know, they rhyme or they start with the same letter. And the reason I do that, that's the way I was taught as far as in sermon preparation. But it was also a way to allow us to kind of walk down through the text and maybe memorize a little easier, kind of help us understand the flow of the text. So with that said, notice first of all, the Savior's path. We see the Savior's path in verse 11. The Bible says, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The Savior's path. It was not uncommon for the Lord Jesus Christ, to travel around and walk around and, you know, and go to the different regions of that day. And we see Jesus, though, he takes an interesting path. The Bible tells us he goes in the midst of Samaria. And we already gave you this, and we've said this to you before, and maybe you recall that the Samaritans, they were, of course, a group of people that were hated both by Jews and Gentiles. They were, if you will, they would often be referred to as half-breed people, and as meaning, they weren't 100% Jew, they weren't 100% Gentile, they were kind of a mixture of both, and they were hated by both sides. But yet we said, and we already told you this, we see that Jesus, though, you do know this, right? That God loves people more than anything. And when it comes to Jesus, there are no geographical lines that Jesus will not cross to change people's lives and take the power of his grace and mercy. Jesus loves to do the unexpected. He does. He loves to do that. Jesus, the Bible says, so we see this path that Jesus goes on, it's an unexpected path. Nobody would have expected Jesus, being a Jew, nobody would have expected him to go through Samaria. I mean, they were hated. The Jews hated them. Why would Jesus do this? Well, it wasn't uncommon for Jesus to take the unexpected path, was it? May I remind you this morning, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but we'll show you in just a moment that leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. So if you look at that from that perspective and that angle, weren't you amazed that Jesus took an unexpected path in your direction and changed your life one day? You know, I was amazed that Jesus took an unexpected path when he came into my life on July the 6th of 88, when he came through the town of Alexandria, Kentucky, but more specifically, he came through the pews of the First Baptist Church of Alexandria, the precious Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and he revealed the truth of the gospel to me. He showed me my need of a Savior. So in essence, Jesus himself took an unexpected path in my life. You know, can anything good come out of Claryville? I was from Claryville. Can anything good? Well, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus often takes unexpected path. And then, often what Jesus also does is he comes to unworthy people. It was an unexpected path, but these were unworthy people. These were lepers. These, according to Jewish law, now, of course, they were Samaritans, but as far as the Jews were concerned, they weren't, many felt that they were of no value. They were just, kind of dogs, if you will. They were just, just destined for death, and, they were hopeless. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that many failed to understand and failed to realize, the same God that created their life was the same God that created these lepers life. He's the God that gave them life. He's the God that brought them into the world. And again, God loves people more than anything. So these were, it was an unexpected path, but these were an unworthy group of people. They didn't deserve for Jesus to, come to where they were. But ladies and gentlemen, again, to make kind of a correlation here, you and I didn't deserve it either. We were unworthy. And let me say it like this. We are still unworthy. But God has made us worthy in His Son. It's remarkable to think about that. I mean, think about that. You and I were unworthy of His grace and mercy, but yet because of Jesus, and now experientially having Christ as our Savior, He's made us worthy. Wow. And when God sees us, He sees, of course, indeed, the blood of His Son. And when God sees us now, if you've been born again, you know this, and I've given you this a lot, but I tell you what, it still overwhelms me, Brother Joe. It overwhelms me with the truth to know that when now God sees me, according to Colossians chapter 1, He sees me as blameless. He sees me as holy. He sees me. What a great God. You said, preacher, how can God do that? He does it through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know what can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the Savior's path. It was an unexpected path. It was to an unworthy group of people. And to some, it was unnecessary. To some, it was unnecessary. But I'm grateful that God doesn't confine Himself to the ideology of a few. He doesn't do that. The Savior is a Savior of the world. You know, there are some even in our culture, there are some even in our country that say, well, you know, yeah, but preacher, you know, and I know of some churches, we got to be careful who we reach. I was doing a bus route. This was many years ago. I was doing a van route. This is a sad story. The first message I preached here, I wasn't coming as a candidate, but that's what God ended up doing. But nonetheless, I preached the message, and I remember making a statement that Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church has to be a John 3:16 church. Amen. It does. And, you know, we have to be a John 3:16 church. I said, because if it's not a John 3:16 church, meaning for God so loved the world, if it's not a John 3:16 church, then you might as well padlock the doors and let's all go home. Right? And so this was probably, man, I've been here almost 15 years. So this was probably 10 years ago, 11 years ago, maybe 12. I was doing a van route. I think Cody at the time was my bus captain. And the kids, there were some kids on our bus route. And thankfully, these children still come to our bus, on our bus. These kids on the van route. And as I heard them talking, and Brother Bill, they said to them, and it broke my heart. I thought for a minute, did I hear this correctly? They were talking amongst themselves. And I heard them say, yeah, we used to go to another church, but they wouldn't baptize us because we're African American. And I'm driving, and Trey says, I'm driving. I thought, what in the world did I just hear? So when I got to the house, the mother was out. I said, hey, I'm coming for a minute. And she walked around, you know, to my window. And I said, I just heard the kids make a statement. And I said, I want to ask you, and this was a Baptist church. This is another Baptist church. And I said, I want to ask you, is this true? And she put her head down. And she says, yeah, Pastor, she said, I'm sorry to tell you. She said, it's true. And I looked at her, and I had tears in my eyes. And I said, I really truly, I think I had tears in my eyes. And I said, hon, I said, you listen to me. I said, I promise you. I said, that when your kids repent of their sin and they trust Jesus as their Savior, I said, I will be honored to baptize them in Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Let me just say something to you, ladies and gentlemen. There are some that may have an attitude, or maybe some even watching the internet, that may be thinking that, only a certain group of people or certain ethnicities of people or certain classes of people deserve to hear the gospel. Listen, or that they do not, they do not deserve to hear the gospel. They do not deserve to have a Savior. They do not deserve to be a member of a local New Testament church. I got news from the authority of the Word of God. The Bible tells us, Jesus, and it teaches us, and we see in Scripture, that God indeed loves people more than anything, and He sees, listen, He doesn't see as far as this group I'm going to love more than this group. No, friend, He sees us all lost in our sins, and thanks be unto God, Jesus died for all. So, Pastor, you really get fired up about that. You better believe I get fired up about that. You say, what do you feel about a church like that? Here's what I feel about a church like that. The Spirit of God left it many, many years ago. And you might as well put Ichabod over the door. Listen, if we got to be careful. You say, yeah, but preacher. No, there is no but preacher. On the authority of the Word of God, there's one race of people. It's the human race. By the way, you know evolution tries to put us all in races. You know that, right? The Bible doesn't. The Bible says we're of one blood. God's made all of one blood. So hopefully that will help you when you think about this. I don't even know why in the world I went on that direction, but maybe it's because just as that really creates some animosity, or that creates kind of a righteous indignation when I see this and when I hear this, and I see on the news and I see the protests and I see the KKK, a bunch of idiots who are protesting, and they're trying to they hate people, that African-American people or anybody that isn't supposed white people. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's absolute stupidity. Absolute stupidity. And they say that they're Christian. People say, Pastor, yeah, but listen, friend. And by the way, let me just say something. Jesus Christ, you know that the Lord Jesus wasn't a pale white Savior. You know that, right? He had olive color skin. You do know this, correct? You mean he wasn't? He definitely was a little darker than perhaps some and most. But the point being, just as we've talked just for a brief moment and tried to bring it into where you understand it culturally, the Samaritan people were hated even more. They hated them. As far as they were concerned, they were a blight in society. But you know what? But yet our Savior's path went in their direction. Ladies and gentlemen, do I have to remind you that because of His mercy and grace, our Savior's path crossed your path. You better be grateful for it. We see the Savior's path, but second of all, we see the sinner's pain. We see the sinner's pain. The Bible tells us, these were verse 12, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers. Now, one of the things I want you to avoid when you read Scripture, I want you to avoid just reading Scripture and just kind of skimming over it and not getting down and walking in it. You've got to get down and walk in the text. You got to. And when you see, and by doing that, it will help you feel, hopefully, it will help you feel and kind of empathize with what these fellows are dealing with. The Bible says these men, these 10 men, were lepers. That was horrible. Leprosy was a horrible disease. It actually was kind of like a disease of the nerves, meaning that, you wouldn't feel things. It would deaden, like you could have your hand, if you were a leper, and maybe it would start off like a little spot, and it would spread, and before long, man, it had taken over your body. And it wasn't uncommon for, fingers to fall off, or an ear to fall off. It wasn't uncommon for people, they couldn't feel, they couldn't sense that. And then they may touch fire and not even realize it and burn their hand, but these men, and it was a horrible, horrible, horrible disease, a very grotesque disease. It was a disease that would start off as sores, and those sores, and I'm not going to discuss you today with it, but you can imagine the pain of these men. You see the physical pain, but we also, can you imagine with me for a moment, the emotional pain of having leprosy? Can you imagine the emotional pain of you know, the moment, the day that that little spot popped up on your hand, and then all of a sudden you see it, and maybe your wife sees it, and your kids see it, and they see this little bitty spot, and they think to themselves, oh no, could this be? Oh honey, don't worry, surely there's nothing wrong. And as time goes on, they realize, yes indeed, it's leprosy. And because of the leprosy, which the Bible, it does indeed, it's a very graphic picture, really, of sin. It's a picture of sin. But as a result of that man's leprosy, he then has to leave his family. He has to leave his wife. He has to leave his children. He has to leave his home. He has to leave his little village, maybe, that he's a part of, his community that he's a part of. And he then is banished to a colony of leper people. People just like him. People that are outcasts. People that are ostracized from communities and society. People that religious people don't have anything for, time for. He's banished with a leper colony, and he literally will die apart from intervention of a great Savior. He's going to die just like the rest of them. He's banished to this colony of other lepers, and if people would get even close to this colony of lepers, as I told you, they were required to holler out, unclean, unclean, don't come here, we're lepers, unclean, and they couldn't get close to them, risking spread of that horrible disease. So you imagine the physical pain, you imagine, I mean, try to walk in this with me, the emotional pain. You know what, when I think about it, though, in the context of how this is a picture of sin, sin is really no different. Sin, if left unchecked, it will destroy your life. It'll rob you of relationships. It will literally, you know, you say, oh, preacher, I just messed with a little sin. There is no little sin. You mess with sin, I promise you, it will take more than you ever imagined. It will absolutely rob you of any decency and dignity that you once had. So these men, the pain of these men, the physical pain, the emotional pain, the agony, the sinner's pain, the Savior's path, the sinner's pain. If you think of me just for a moment, these men were, they were hopeless. I mean, they were in a hopeless situation. They were destined for death. They were destined for separation from their family. They were destined to be, you know, ostracized from society. But you know what I'm grateful for? Jesus helps them here. We see the sinner, the Savior's path, the sinner's pain, but notice thirdly, the Savior's power. The Bible tells us in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. What is mercy? What were they asking for? Mercy is not getting what they deserved. That's what they're asking for. They're asking for Jesus, Master, please do not give us what we deserve. You see, because of their disease, their disease absolutely warranted them to die in isolation. Their disease warranted them to, you know, to die a very disfigured death. Their disease absolutely, because of the disease that they had, would indeed have definitely kept them separated from family. Ladies and gentlemen, when I think of sin, that's what sin does. Sin, you see, the Bible says sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You say, oh, preacher, I'm sinning, and it really, I mean, preacher, I'm doing all the sin that I can do, and it hasn't really affected me. Well, that's because it hasn't gotten full grown yet. That's because it hasn't gotten to full maturity yet. But I promise you, sin left unchecked will destroy your life, but sadly, even more horrific than just that, sin that is left unforgiven. If you're lost here this morning or watching the internet, if you're lost, you do not have Christ as your Savior, the Bible declares that you're a sinner before God. That's what God says about you. So, preacher, I don't appreciate you saying that about me. I didn't say it about you, sir or ma'am. That's what God says about you. God's word says that about you. But you got to understand something. I'm inclusive in this. That's what God's word said about me. That I was a sinner on my way to hell. Oh, preacher, oh, it's getting heavy in here, preacher. Don't talk about hell, preacher. You can't talk about hell in real church. Listen, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Spoke more about hell than he did heaven. So I think it's okay if we talk a little bit about it. So hell will be your home if you die lost in your sins. But I got good news for you. You don't have to die and go to hell. You watch me. You don't have to die and go to hell. You in this room, you don't have to die and go to hell. You can cry out for God to have mercy on your wretched soul and ask God to forgive you being a sinner and by faith believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried for you, that he rose again the third day for you. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him and him alone, he'll save you and change your life. You see, the problem, it would be foolish as we read this text, it would be foolish, and this is what sometimes what people do, sitting in a service like this, watching the internet, here's what people do. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God's word says. The Bible says the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. But back to this, to the sinner part, the wage of sin is death. Now, some sitting in this room think to themselves, oh, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not a bad person. I never said you're a bad person. Oh, preacher, preacher, you talk about hell. Surely I won't go to hell. Well, surely you will if you die lost without Jesus. I promise you, just as sure as you're sitting here, if you die lost without Christ, hell will be your eternal home. Let's flesh it out in the life of these lepers. Can you imagine these lepers sitting around? They hear Jesus is coming. Hey, man, I heard Jesus is coming. I hear all the commotion, and I hear all the hustle and bustle that Jesus is coming. You can see the old lepers thinking to themselves. Maybe the one looks at him, old Charlie, looks at Earl, and Charlie says, Earl, man, Jesus ain't got time for this. He's not going to come here. Jesus is not coming to Samaria. Jesus is Jewish. He's a Jewish Savior. There's no way he's coming here. Well, I tell you what, man, I've heard this. Jesus goes to unexpected places. Charlie, I've heard that Jesus, he will go to undeserving people. I've heard he's coming. Oh, we're lepers. But then you got on this side, you've got old Ed over here, and old Ed says, you guys might be lepers, but I'm not a leper. Now, it would be foolish for Ed, who has leprosy all over his body, it'd be foolish for Ed to say that he isn't a leper when everybody else around him knows that he's a leper. It's just as foolish for people sitting in a room like this or watching by internet to say you're not a sinner when you're sitting in a room full of sinners. We're all sinners, and we all need God's forgiveness. But in order to get forgiveness, you have to acknowledge that you need his forgiveness. You see, these old boys, the Bible says they, you could see it kind of in unison, they lifted up, verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They all cried out. And notice the Savior's power. They acknowledged their need. And when he saw them, in verse 14, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It's hard to read that and it not put a smile on my face. You know why? Let's flesh it out. Let's get down here and just kind of use some spiritual imagination without distorting the text and just kind of flesh it out for a minute. You got old Charlie over here. You got Earl here. You got old Ed, who at one time he didn't want to acknowledge that he was a leopard, but he finally come to his senses because he began to realize, maybe they started talking to him, "Hey, Ed, buddy, I tell you what, if there's anybody a leper, it's sure you, Ed. You're a leper. I'm not as bad a leper as you are a leper. Earl and Charlie, you guys are bad lepers, right?" And you got Earl and Charlie over here saying, "Well, Ed, you may not feel that you're bad as a leper as we are, but Ed, really what the story boils down to, you're a leper. And you're going to die from your leprosy. You tracking with me? You tracking with Earl, Ed, and Charlie?" And we're going to introduce another guy, Larry. Larry's over here and Ed's here. And finally, Larry says, "Come on, Ed. We've been telling you for years. You're a leper." And just not to make light or try to be funny, but Larry finally looks at him and says, Larry, Ed, just last week your nose fell off. Right. Ed, look at your hand. You know what I mean? He's lost a finger. I mean, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I haven't had to blow my nose in a week. I mean, I guess you're right. You'll get that. You'll get that about 2 in the morning, and you'll call me and say, "Preacher, that was hilarious." But they're all sitting around, and they're all talking, and they're like, "Well, what do we do?" Well, I'll tell you what we need to do. First, we all need to agree, right? Fellas, can we all agree, all 10 of us? Can we all agree? Frank, can we not all agree that we're lepers? Yeah, we might as well come to you. Let's take a vote. All the lepers say aye, 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 all 10 of them. Okay, we acknowledge we're a leper. What are we going to do about it? Well, the only thing we could do, I hear Jesus is Savior, and the only thing we could do, I hear Jesus will do extraordinary things in somewhat ordinary people's lives and horrible situations. Jesus is a master at taking a horrible situation and desperate situations and infusing them with mercy and grace, and I hear he can change people's lives, so we're on agreement, right? We can't save ourselves. We can't heal ourselves. So we're all in agreement, right? Ed, Charlie, Earl, yeah, Frank, yeah, we're all, Larry, yeah, we're all in agreement. So we better cry out to the only one we know that can do something about our condition. And that is Jesus. And you can see Jesus coming down the road. And as they see Jesus coming down the road, they realize that this old boy, this Jesus, he's not doing what everybody else does and turning away from their little colony. He's walking towards it. And as they see him, they didn't cry out, "Unclean, unclean, don't come to us, we're lepers." They cried out what they knew to cry out. And they all agreed. They cried out. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And what did Jesus say to them? "Okay, boys, go to the priest. Go show the priest that you've been cleansed." Now, you got to see the faith involved here. When Jesus made that statement, they were still lepers. Ed's nose is still gone. His finger's gone. They're still lepers. They're also lepers who, according to the law, are going to do something that could have gotten them killed immediately. They're going to leave their leper colony. You tracking with me? I hope. Let me flesh out a little bit more. So they're going to leave their leper colony. Okay, this is Jesus. We cry out for mercy. We know he can do it. We've heard he's changed other people's lives. You remember old Bobby? Bobby used to be in this leper colony, but he's not here anymore. He met this Jesus guy and changed life, so he got out of the leper colony. So they start walking. And the Bible says as they were walking, they were cleansed. Wow. Can you imagine that? What if you were, now you say, "Preacher, it's just a story." Okay. Oh, I'm so glad you made that statement. Let's bring it in a little closer. What if instead of Ed, it was Tracy? What if instead of Larry, it was Will? What instead of Charlie, it was Bill or You say, "Preacher, why are you putting our names in there?" I'll tell you, friend, because it means more to you when you understand what Jesus did for you. They cried out for mercy, and Jesus gave it to them. He gave it to them. And as they were walking away, they're headed to the priest. By going to the priest, by the way, why would Jesus say, go to the priest and tell him? Why would Jesus say that? Because when they would have gotten to the priest and told him what had happened and Jesus had done it, it would have validated even more that Jesus was the Messiah. Just kind of keep that in mind when you read this. So as they're going, all of a sudden, man, their skin is like a baby's skin. They're overwhelmed. Old Charlie and Ed, they're absolutely overwhelmed. And they're so excited. I mean, this Jesus, track with me, this Jesus has changed their life. He's changed their destiny. They were destined to die in a leper colony, and now he's put life together for them. And notice this now. Look at the last thing. The Savior's power, but notice fourthly and lastly. Notice the single praise. The single praise. The Bible tells us, verse 14, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. What a miracle. Verse 13, it says, and they lifted up their voices. Jesus' master had mercy on us. Now verse 15, and one of them. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan. Where are the nine? Jesus even says it in verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, preacher, what's the significance of that? I said, where are the nine is a title of this, but I also stated that you could entitle the sermon one or nine. Let me make it personal. Are you the one? Or are you the nine? You know in your life, if you're born again here today or watching the internet, you know for a fact that Jesus did something for you that you so desperately needed and you could not do it for yourself. He changed your life. And spiritually, you were cleansed. Spiritually, you were healed. You're on your way to heaven now. Are you thankful for it? Are you grateful for it? Do you give him praise? Can you see him? I think it was Earl. I've done some study. I think it was Earl that was the one. And Earl turns around. I mean, can you imagine? Try to walk in the text. Can you imagine being Earl? And he looks down and he sees his hand that was covered in all kinds of little nodules and the digits was missing. And he looks down and all of a sudden, man, it's perfect. His fingers are back. What leprosy had eaten, what leprosy had marred, God's mercy restores. Wow, what a thought. And old Earl, you know, he sees his buddies and they're hooping and hollering and they're just walking away. But old Earl's like, wait a minute. I'm standing here whole, all track with me. I'm standing here whole today and it's because of that man. And he hollers out and he glorifies God. The Bible says with a loud voice. And then he falls down at his feet, praising God, giving glory to God. And oh, by the way, almost like a footnote, it says it. He was a Samaritan. I got news for you. Oh, by the way, there's many in this room, and I know you. There's many in this room that have been healed, spiritually healed. And oh, by the way, you were lost sinners on your way to hell. Sin had ostracized you. Sin had separated you, the Bible says, from God. The wrath of God abided over you. But God, who is rich in mercy, heard your cry. He heard your request. He heard your repentance. He forgave you. He cleansed you. He saved you. You're on your way to heaven now. Now, my question is this. Thanksgiving is this week. I intentionally went this direction this morning because I'm going to be gone Tuesday. I pray that God reminds us once again. I really do. I pray that God reminds us once again where we were when he found us. Where were you when he found you? You see, we can be saved so long that we forget where God brought us from. That's a danger. I was a sinner, man. I was on my way to hell, deserving every minute of it. But God, who is rich in mercy, cried out. And I'm telling you, son, he absolutely forgave me, cleansed me, washed me by his blood, saved me. You know, Jesus said in another passage, he said, if need be, the rocks, if we fail to give him praise, if need be, the rocks will cry out and give him praise. I don't want a rock to have to give him praise in my spot. What about you? Maybe there in your pew as we stand. Go ahead and stand. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. The instrumentalists are coming. Where are you at today, friend? First and foremost, do you know Christ your Savior? And if so, when's the last time you just thanked him? When's the last time, honestly, when's the last time you just thanked him for hearing your cry? Have you looked at your hands in a while? Have you looked at your family in a while? It's because of Jesus you're breaking the cycle. It's because of Jesus you're not in the same old pit that you were before. It's because of Jesus you're not in the same old leper colony that you used to be in. It's because of Jesus. Oh, you could still be with your same old buddies, but Jesus changed your life. And when Jesus changes your life and he cleans you up, you really don't want to hang in that old life again. It'd be like Lazarus wanting to live back in the tombs when Jesus brought him out of it. Right? It'd be foolish to do that. When's the last time you thanked him? Maybe today you'd like to just come to the altar and just thank him. You know, I know he's not here physically, but maybe you'd like to just come and fall on your face and just acknowledge and thank him and give him glory. You don't have to do it here. You can do it during your pew. You come as we sing. What's your number, buddy?
306.
306. You come as we sing. I'll meet you at the front.
I come.
appreciate your good attention this morning. Thank you for coming. Those at the altar, stay as long as you need. We're not rushing you by no means. But again, thank you so much. How many of you have today, guys? 170. Amen. Thank the Lord for a good crowd. A lot of people are gone. A lot of people are out. So pray for their safety, and I know you will. I will be here tonight, just so you know. We're not leaving until in the morning. But again, pray for us this week. And Brother Ryan, any closing announcements?
Yes, sir. Yep, a couple things. We have choir practice tonight, 5 o'clock. And also, if you're in the choir, I do have the CDs made up for the Christmas songs that we'll be practicing. So please see me after service, and I'll give those to you. Those are for your part, so I'll have them ready. And then again, just as another reminder, today's the last day for the Ugly Christmas Sweater Banquet, which will be taking place here in a couple weeks. But see Bill or Bonnie. Costs $20. If you come see me, it's $25 because I take a $5 commission out of it, and then I hand them the $20. So however you want to do it, it's fine. Well, 10 per, yeah, 20 per couple, 10. Yes, yeah. 10, per, yeah, all right, $12.50 if you see me. No, never mind. All right, anyway. But no, $10 per person. But see Bill or Bonnie on that, and they'll help you with that. And then we do have a sign-up sheet for the Home Builders class. We have our Christmas banquet on December the 9th, and I put the sign-up sheet back there. So if you're in the Home Builders class, please do that. And then one more quick thing. I got just a quick card I wanted to read real quick. It says, thanks so much for taking the time to sing to our veterans. I really appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy schedule to do it. You have no idea what a difference you made that night. I had so many compliments on the gospel message, too. You were all amazing. Thank you and love you, Wanda. So those are to all those who participated in the choir. We had a great night there on that Friday night singing to the veterans. It was a blessing and a great time, and we were honored to do it. So thank you for the card, and we appreciate that very much. All right, let's close in prayer. And Brother Bill, why don't you go ahead and close in prayer, sir?